A big hello and a warm welcome to everyone. My name is Simon Pittman, and I will be your host for this podcast panel discussion brought to you by InCosmetics Connect. And today, as part of Connect's innovation theme this month, we will be discussing why this area is so important for businesses right now and how this can be achieved alongside sustainability. This is part of a series of podcasts that will look at the most pressing issues facing the beauty and personal care industry during what has proved to be unprecedented times for the business worldwide. Today, we have assembled two leading industry experts to share their views on how the trend has evolved and some of the most interesting innovations to come out of it. So next, I'd like to introduce you to our panel, who represent very different areas of the industry. First of all, we have Faradia Edouard, who is Research and Technology Manager for Beauty Effects Hair Care at Croda, and a leading expert in the area of ingredient and formulation development. Faradia, if you can just say hi to our listeners and tell us a little bit more about your experience in the beauty industry relevant to sustainability and innovation.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you, Simon, for inviting me in today. And thank you, everybody, for listening. So I am currently at Croda, as you said. I am a research technology manager for personal care. I'm currently looking after our global hair care business. Been with Croda about 15 years now. So like the bulk of my career has been with Croda on the product development side. So I started in the industry in formulation development, specifically looking after really like developing formulations for ingredients that we were launching. And then I kind of transitioned into various roles within R&D. And now I work very closely with our product development team to launch products in the hair care space. And this is a very interesting time for us where sustainability is really, really kind of pushing us as ingredient suppliers, really testing our waters, really to provide options to the market that really our consumers are really demanding for at the moment. So we're right at the forefront of that. We are making quite significant changes in the way that we approach product development for us as a supplier. So very, very interesting times for us. Yeah.
Great. Thanks so much for that, Faradia. Mm-hmm. We're also privileged to have Jane Sterland, who is the managing director for leading natural and organic beauty player, Weleda UK. A big hello to Jane. If you could also explain to the audience a little more about your experience in the beauty industry and, you know, specific to innovation and sustainability.
Yeah, sure, Simon. It's lovely to speak to you today. So I've really only been in the beauty industry for 13 years because prior to that I worked in the fashion industry, which I left because I just felt it was so unsustainable and wasn't aligned into my values. What I have learned about the beauty industry, though, is that unlike fashion, we've had many brands for many years that have walked a sustainable path in terms of natural ingredients and natural sourcing. I guess probably the most famous is The Body Shop, which Anita Roddick founded in the early 80s. So we have some real true pathfinding brands, and the company that I work for, Weleda, or as they would say in Central Europe, Weleda, has been going now for 100 years. And we are primarily farmers and pharmacists in that we create both pharmaceuticals and cosmetics directly from nature. So we've never really done anything else. And it's very interesting that after 100 years, we've suddenly become quite cool and off the zeitgeist. In terms of the products that we make. And sustainability has always been at the heart of the business, and we'll probably talk a little bit more about that later. But every decision we make with the view of, you know, is it right for the consumer? Is it right for the brand? Is it right to our values? Is it right for the planet?
Well, it's very exciting that we've got two leading experts in the field to answer these questions. So I'm now going to go ahead and put these to you. And the first question I have is to both of you: what is the best approach to developing a product that is highly innovative and simultaneously sustainable?
Yeah, well, I guess I can kick off if you don't mind, Gene, if it's
sure,
okay.
Sure, Faradia.
Yeah, okay. Well, for us as an ingredient supplier, I think like a good first approach is to really, it's important to start with a very customer and consumer-centric approach where we're looking at the unmet needs and performance that we want to target, right? So alongside with those sustainability measures. So for many of the customers, like in our market right now, like sustainable ingredients are already like a key point of considerations for them in their product development. So this is already aligned with some of their needs. So calls for things like bio-based, biodegradable, better ecotox, vegan, cruelty-free, you name it. It's becoming very, very commonplace for our personal care market. So we're seeing more demands on improving sustainability credentials of products where performance is already quite good, right? So how do we meet that? So for us as an ingredient supplier, embedding those clear sustainability credentials is what that we want to target within the innovation process is really key from the get-go. So really elevating those discussions on sustainability upfront in the product development process is so essential. We need to meet the customer requirements and develop a product that has exceptional performance, but we have to do this considering raw material sources, the processes that are required in the manufacturing process, and also the downstream impact of the of our products. So at Croda, one thing that we started to do, we developed like these new product development checklists to assess our products and how they're contributing to the UN SDGs. And this also helps to drive behavior change with our scientists, so with our synthetic team, with our applications team, to make the most sustainable choices when we're developing a new ingredient, when we're about to launch a new ingredient. So really thinking about those intrinsic and extrinsic properties of a product. As a company, we're also gathering data on all of our raw materials and side assets so that R&D can measure the impact of a new product. So example, things like carbon footprint, land use footprint. And in many cases, our R&D processes have already combined innovation and sustainability due to many in-use benefits of an ingredient. So we have, for personal care, we have a range of solar protection ingredients. So looking at protecting from skin cancer, increasing energy efficiency, lifetime extension. So we're looking at more opportunities to do these things and really meet our purpose, which for Croda, our purpose is smart science to improve lives. So how can we do this? It really, sustainability and innovation really goes hand in hand when you think about that.
Thanks, Faradia. And what, Jane, what's your perspective on from the brand side on this?
It's a great question. What is the best approach to developing a product that's both highly innovative and at the same time sustainable? And I would answer that really, really simply by saying time. You have to have time to be able to do that, because you have to balance the claims that you want to make and the science, the consumer benefit, with making sure that it is as sustainable as it possibly can be. And I say that because I think we're still on a journey to trying to come up with innovative solutions or, you know, product solutions that doesn't harm the world, because there is always a trade-off. At the moment, there is always a trade-off. And that might be in how the ingredient is produced. That might even be in how the consumer uses the product. So if you look at consumers in the Western world, we use about over 140 litres a day. A lot of it is to do with bathing and the type of products we use for bathing. So it has a big environmental footprint. So if you have time and you're not pushed by the commercials, you can take the time to really research what is the environmental footprint of the innovation that you're going to launch and how can that be improved upon. So to give you an example, at Walida, we will find the ingredients, the lead plants, and we will do the formulations. And then we pause and we say, okay, this is the best ingredient. This is the best lead plant. This it has the best actives to deliver the result we need. Now, where are we going to get the supply from? So we start with the farmers. And is there enough, are there enough farmers who can produce this at a biodynamic level, so super organic, or at an organic level? And how can we secure that supply chain? And that literally can take 5 years, because it's not just about finding the farmers, but it's also about supporting their farming methods. And, you know, with a natural crop, at the best, it's twice a year. Usually it's just once a year. So I would say you have to have time, and you cannot be pushed into producing a product or launching a product if your supply chain, your the sustainable footprint isn't ready.
Right. That's very interesting. Thanks for those comments, both of you. But it's interesting to discover that sustainability is a long-haul commitment. So moving on to the next question, what stumbling blocks can sustainability requirements cause for innovation, and how can these be overcome?
Wow, like, yes, there's so many of them. Where do you start? And I'm sure Jane will agree on the finished goods side. But for us in as a supplier, there's so many stumbling blocks. And as Jane says, like, time is really essential to get there. So I can think of a few right now. The biggest one being the ease of availability of renewable raw materials. Sometimes those exist, but there may be few suppliers that may sell them, or they don't have the scale capacity for a renewable raw material. So really, like, a way to overcome that we see as having better supplier engagement, where we start having discussions to encourage our suppliers to set targets the way that we are setting targets for more renewable sources. Another big stumbling block that we have is the use of raw materials that can potentially compete with food sources. So we see a big rise in the personal care industry for natural food sources. People see what's good for you to eat is good for you to use in your beauty and personal care products. So that can cause huge conflicts with competing with food sources. So a way of overcoming that is trying to use food sources that are more of the waste stream, or upcycled. So things that are really not competing with that. Cost is another huge issue that we see, where there is a price tag that's associated with more bio-based renewable raw materials compared to your traditional petroleum-based raw materials. And everybody wants sustainable products, but are they really willing to pay the cost, right? So this is where an education really comes into play, to really show people the value that is associated with more natural, more sustainable products. And yes, like, it is going to cost you more, but look at all the benefits. But I think it takes time to really change the consumer behavior, right? They say they want something, but then when they see that price tag, it's like, oh, well, no, we don't want to pay that price tag. You can really hold things up a bit. And we cannot really get over at this point that the price tag that comes with finding more raw materials that are from renewable sources. And another big one for me, that especially in hair care that we've been looking at with our new product development, is really the environmental impact requirements. So things like biodegradability and aquatic toxicity, especially for hair care products, where, like, things are going into the water and you don't want it to kill fish and aquatic organisms. Not having those predictive modeling for these tests can cause quite a challenge for us in the beginning of the innovation process, because everything has to be tested, and there's a cost associated with those tests. So imagine we're developing a product. There are several iterations of that product we have to develop before we can put it out to market. If we had to test and pay for the testing for every single variant, we would be out of business pretty soon. So having those predictive modeling tools, I think, are essential for us. So this is just a few of those challenges I see that we have from the supplier side. For us at Croda, we really look to make transformational changes to ensure that our business is sustainable. So what we tend to do is, so we have a lot of innovation partnerships that we we take on where we're looking at ways to really inorganically grow our business to facilitate this. Looking at biotech routes is a way that we're looking at to trying to achieve this with some of our current chemistries. You probably also heard of our eco plant that we've in the last couple of years put up here in the US, and that's looking at using biomass to really reinvent some of our old heritage technologies. So that's another great way of making those transformational changes, I would say, that we're looking to put into action. So yeah, like there can be quite a few stumbling blocks. So I'm curious to see from Jane's side what it looks like on the finishing side.
Yes, let's hear from Jane on the brand side about that, but her perspective.
Glad you went first, Roddy, because yes, everything you said. A few other things that I would put in, but just the big picture, I would really question whether we have, particularly in formulation and our current new product development model, where brands are expected to be putting out a new product every, at least one new product, as to whether our business model is actually sustainable because of all of the things that you said. So in terms of cost, it being sustainable costs more money, and it takes more time doing the right things. And at some point, and the testing that you talked about as well, yeah, incredibly important, because it's not just good enough to say we don't do this, but actually, I mean, for us in particular, we have transparent supply chain systems that have been audited. But to do that with 1,000 different suppliers takes a lot of time, costs a lot of money. So there's the cost element. I think also we are bounded by innovation at the moment, you know, in terms of things like sun care. You cannot have a natural SPF. And then there's the whole thing about nanoparticles and so on, and what happens to them when they go into the water courses, which you mentioned earlier. So I guess I would say for a start, it's really not easy being green. Everybody knows that. It's very difficult. You have to make choices. And our current business model makes it such that because of the commercial pressures, it can be really difficult. So these are all very, very big stumbling blocks. The other couple of things that I would put in is that particularly when you move into more natural formulations and you're taking out preservatives, then your packaging becomes your preservative system. And we really haven't tackled, I'm sure we will, I'm sure we're very creative, it's going to take years, to come up with a packaging solution that helps keep the product pristine, that doesn't use either preservatives or plastic, because we have a problem with post-consumer waste plastic. We also have a problem with the, and I mentioned it earlier, the amount of consumables we use to use the product. That might be the amount of water we use, for example, in terms of hair washing and so on. And I have mentioned it before, but our water footprint in the Western world is way too high on an individual basis. So we really need to think holistically from how we get the products in the first place. Do they come from petrochemicals? Do they come from the land? How is the land managed? You know, are we clearing vast swathes of rainforest to grow palm oil, for example, all the way through the whole chain to the consumer and how the consumer uses the product, and then the post-consumer waste. What is good news, though, is that we are really waking up to this, and as an industry, we're coming together, particularly in the UK, through the British Beauty Council. We have just launched Sustainable Beauty Coalition, where we're hoping as an industry to come up with solutions. Because finally, as a small brand, how on earth can you tackle this? You just don't have the scale, and we all need to work in coalition, collegially together, to come up with these solutions.
That's great. Thank you for those insights. So we're on to our next question. Can sustainability initiatives actually lead to innovation? If so, how?
I'll take the lead on this one, because this is a great one. I think packaging, you know what? I think the first thing we need to really tackle is packaging for me as a brand owner. And if we could just be more joined up with our packaging and not use, you know, 150 different components and 150 different types of plastics, and actually have a post-consumer waste solution in terms of recycling, like they do in some countries, like in Germany, that actually we could start to make a big difference. Because going back to what I said before about packaging, plastic is absolutely the best ingredient, the best substrate to use if you can recycle it, because it's cheap, it's really easy to reuse, etc., etc. But the problem with packaging is we don't have a circular system. So I think these the push to become more sustainable will lead us to come up with much, much better solutions that in the long run will really benefit the consumer.
For us, like on the innovation side, we really consider sustainability to be a key driver for us with our innovation. At Croda, we have very, very ambitious 2030 targets to be climate, land, and people positive. So for us as an organization, this drives a huge amount of innovation across our businesses, from R&D and marketing, thinking about product design, to process improvements in manufacturing, really thinking about how we can make our products in lower carbon way. So really putting sustainability at the beginning of our ingredient development process has, it's really helped us really to look at this in a new way. When you think of innovation, people usually would think of a brand new molecule, for example, but it doesn't necessarily have to mean that, right? Doesn't have to be that brand new inky or better performance. I mentioned earlier our eco range of bio-based ingredients. So this is where we've taken heritage product line, heritage technologies that we have that are very well known in the industry and used a lot by our customers. So like trade names like Tweens and Bridges, well-known emulsifiers out there. And we've made them more sustainable by just switching from a petrochemical source to a more naturally derived source using biomass. So in that case, what we've done is we've transformed an ingredient that we already have and elevated the bio-based content to 100%. So by making the simple switch, and I say simple in quotation, it's not really simple to do that, we're essentially giving our customers an innovative product that they can use that can really elevate their formulations bio-based content. So this is like a significant step forward towards developing more sustainable material. And that in and of itself is really innovation when you think about it. So it's changing the mindset too, right? Sustainability is hard, but it doesn't have to be. What are some of these small steps that you can take and some of those more transformational changes that are more difficult that are gonna take years and years to make? So it's really a kind of like a stepwise approach, I think, but definitely sustainability can lead to innovation for sure. And we've seen that, we are doing that.
That's great, it's good to know that. So let's move on to our next question and our last question. How do you see the future of innovation and sustainability evolving concurrently?
I hope that we'll see two things. I hope that we will see more purpose-led companies where the purpose is actually to deliver benefits as opposed to make profit. Profit is important, but when that becomes the overriding factor of the brand's purpose, then it just becomes all about the money and not about the impact on the planet. Because at the moment, cost is into our products. We don't cost in the cost of the planet. So more purpose-led business that actually looks at what I call the four P's, which is people, planet, profit, and purpose. And secondly, and quite controversially, I'd like to see fewer products launched. You know, in the beauty market where we see thousands of new products launched every year globally, 90% of them will not be around in 3 years' time. That's a massive, massive cost to companies, a massive cost to the planet, and what a wasted effort. You imagine if all of that effort were put into launching just 10%, but products that would be around, like something like Weleda Skin Food, which was created in 1926 and is still around the same formulation today, and because it works. And that's what I'd really like to see, the fact that we have fewer, better products that deliver better benefits for companies that make a real difference in the world.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that. Really having more companies that are backing this, that are more purpose-led. Like I mentioned earlier, like we really have very strong sustainability target for the next, well, 9 years now, 2030 or 2021. So we really kind of have to ramp that up. Our CEO uses a phrase. He says that the sweet spot is at the intersection between sustainability and innovation. And that is where we see the future success of our organization. Sustainability demands from external stakeholders and regulations are only increasing. Our consumers are demanding more from companies to be more ethical, more reputable, more sustainable. And that's not going to change. It's only going to increase. So innovation will really have to increase, to ramp up really to meet these criteria while we continue to deliver products that are delivering that performance that the consumer is looking for, while at the same time protecting the environment. We cannot forget about the impact on the environment. It's so critical really to the sustainability of everything. So at Croda, I would say we're very well positioned to evolve along these requirements and also to help drive this with our market leading views. With the way this market is moving, sustainability can be thought of as essentially a pillar of innovation. It's just as important as the product itself and what it does. So without sustainability, like the product really doesn't mean anything anymore to the consumer. So we had to really embed that within that innovation process. That's where we kind of stand at this point.
Okay, brilliant. Well, that brings us to an end of our podcast. And I'd like to thank our panelists, Faradia and Jane, for their brilliant expert insights. And to you, our listeners, for tuning into this podcast hosted by myself, Simon Pittman, and brought to you by InCosmetics Connect.